This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Since the Mountain Valley Pipeline failed a pressure test in Virginia last month, it is facing scrutiny from federal regulators.
But it is certainly the safest way to carry oil and gas across the country.
That story and more coming up this West Virginia Morning. Support for West Virginia Morning is proudly provided by Luke Frazier. Members of the Communications Workers of America have voted to give union leaders the authority to call a strike at Optimum if negotiations fail to settle. The current four-year contract covering workers from Beckley to Logan expired last month. The union workers agreed to a two-month contract extension to give the company more time to reach a fair deal. The contract extension expires on June 28th at 11:59 p.m. Just before the start of the fall semester last year, the band director at Midland Trail High School left for another job. With no one else to take over, senior Carol Nottingham stepped in. We bring you this story from student reporter Kelsey Cart.
When school year began, the music-inclined students returning to Midland Trail High School were heartbroken to find out that their band teacher accepted a job elsewhere and would not return as their band director. With the current teacher shortage, there were no teachers to take up the empty position. A long-term substitute was placed in charge of the class. There would be no playing at games, no concerts, and certainly no lively music to lighten the hallways when students passed by the band room. If they needed a director to lead the band, they would have one, in the form of a fellow student. Carol Nottingham is a senior at Midland Trail and the school's acting band director. Passionate to keep the school's music alive, she took it upon herself to see this year's band succeed.
For people who do not know me personally, I have been in the band for 6 years now, something like that, 5 or 6 years. And we have been through band director after band director after band director. So our most recent band director, she got transferred to another school, and we did not find a new teacher.
The principal of Midland Trail, Richard Pettit, shared his side of Carol's story. As replacing the previous band director was proving to be a serious challenge, she came to him in the band class's hour of need.
So we were struggling with filling position with a teacher, with a certified teacher. Miss George had left us, you know, right before school started and had went to taking a position at Fayetteville. And so we were struggling trying to find a certified teacher to fill the position that had the musical background to instruct and lead. And so once we were struggling with that, Carol just came to me and was like, hey, I feel like I can, you know, be an asset to the class and help us keep it moving forward. So
I was like, well, I'm not letting this band sit here and do nothing. So I got approval from Mr. Harper and Mr. Pettit and was like, I'm going to lead the band. So I took them out on the football field. I've been having them march and stuff, so that's really how I started.
Carol's dedication to keeping the band alive and well seeps into the students she leads. Abigail Yates and Mariah Dixon have a particular love for the band, much like their student director, Carol.
Carol's a great teacher. She's, like, very nice to all of us. She, like, explains things very well, and she gets along with us.
I wanted to be a percussionist in the marching band, and I've never done it before. It's very fun because she used to be a percussionist as well. She still is and used to be a student as well, so she knows how to better teach people.
She's, like, very, since she's a high schooler, she isn't like, meh, don't. Like, she lets us do things, and, like, yeah, she's very, because she understands jokes that we make, and we get to, like, laugh along with her, so she's a very cool person.
They're doing great. Like, we all have been warmed up on instruments. We did a few instrument changes after, you know, Christmas and stuff, so they're doing really good. There are some times where I'm like, I pull things out of my back pocket and I'm like, hey, can you play this for me? And they're like, what does that mean? And I have to break it down. But essentially, for a middle school band, they play at a high school level. Like, they do really well.
I just really look forward to seeing what next steps Carol has for her life, because she's such a great kid. She has a drive and a vision as to where she wants to get there, and I really just think that she's going to be a very successful person because she's willing to tackle obstacles that a lot of people aren't willing to do.
That story was reported by Kelsey Cart, a senior at the Fayette Institute of Technology. This fall, Kelsey will attend Fairmont State University. She plans to study graphic design. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:49. Areas of fog this morning, becoming mostly sunny today. A slight chance of afternoon thunderstorms, high temperatures in the 70s and 80s. Tonight, mostly clear, lows in the 50s and 60s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, highs in the 70s and 80s. Support for WVPB is provided by the West Virginia State Treasurer's Office with a Smart 529 program, recognizing West Virginia's teachers through the Above and Beyond project. More at WVTreasury.com. The Mountain Valley Pipeline is under scrutiny from federal regulators after it failed a pressure test in Virginia last month. Curtis Tate spoke with Cynthia Quarterman, the former head of the Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration from 2009 to 2014, about the federal agency's role in regulating 3 million miles of pipeline.
What role does PHMSA play in commissioning a pipeline? Is it involved in the testing process, or mainly once the pipeline begins operation?
Ordinarily, I would say that it is more the latter than the former. It's involved after pipeline gets into service, much more than it is during construction. Now, that's not to say that they are not involved. They do go out while pipelines are being put in and inspect, but you know, the fact of the matter is there's so few inspectors and so many miles of pipeline that it is it's difficult to get everywhere you want to be. Just looking at the record of this pipeline, looks like the agency is saying they've been out 200 and something days, which sounds like quite a few times, although that's been over many years, I know, so it's, you can divide that by the number of years. Usually in a natural gas pipeline like this, you know, the FERC is the one who decides that it is okay for them to proceed with building a new pipeline, and they are responsible for, you know, ensuring that the construction of the pipeline meets all the safety standards. Usually that means they essentially have the operator contract out some of that oversight.
MVP is under a consent decree with PHMSA over the integrity of the coating on the pipe that prevents corrosion. What is PHMSA looking for? How would they enforce it?
Well, the MVP has to prove that they've met the terms of the consent decree. Perhaps they require, and I haven't seen the terms of consent decree in any great detail, so I don't know if they have required a third party that PHMSA chose to, you know, look at what MVP has done. But the coating and the pressure test are extremely unlikely to be related. I mean, the issue with having pipeline around for a long time, especially if it's already coated, is that the coating can despond from the pipe. Crevices and cavities where corrosion could then be created because of, you know, water seeping in under the coating and that one spot becoming a pit and, you know, becoming corroded. unlikely to have, you know, the kind of effect in this time period to make the pressure test fail. The pressure test failure, I'm just shooting off the hip here, I have no idea, is probably related to some sort of a problem at the seams of the well. It's less likely the corrosion has, you know, gone to the point where it created a pit so big that it will cause the pipe to fail from that pressure test. But and this is something that is not necessarily required to be reported to the public, you know. We'll see if PHMSA requires NTP to tell them what the cause was and whether that gets communicated more broadly.
PHMSA is a relatively small agency overseeing a vast system of pipelines, right?
Yes, it is. And, you know, when I left, I think they, one of the things I was pushing for was more inspectors, and the numbers have grown substantially since then, but you're still talking about a couple of hundred people who are overseeing, you know, 3 million miles of pipeline.
MVP crosses through some very rugged and remote terrain with very steep slopes. Can it carry gas safely under high pressure?
But it is certainly the safest way to carry oil and gas across the country. I mean, I have been out for inspections to some of, you know, I'm not a big height person, so I remember going out to some of the pipeline inspections where it looked like, you know, you were going up a mountain, the pipeline was going up and coming down the other side. You know, obviously, their pipelines under a great deal of the rivers and streams across the country. And for the most part, you have no idea they're there because they're just operating and have been operating for so long without the problem. But there are occasions when horrible things happen.
The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission must soon decide whether to allow MVP to begin operation. What should we expect?
I don't know anybody over at FERC, and I don't have any inside knowledge, but my experience with FERC is that they usually just push on through regardless of the administration. I mean, they're pretty independent, so they're going to make an independent decision about this. Hopefully, they will have a conversation with their sister agency, PHMSA, to talk about, you know, what is the current status of the consent decree, what they think about what happened with the pipeline. I'm hoping that they discuss with PHMSA what it means. I don't know that they will. You know, they tend to be pretty independent, meaning that they don't always reach out to speak to other people when they make their decisions.
How persuasive is the public comment FERC receives?
I'm sure it's considered. Now, I've practiced before them in rate hearings. I've never worked there. And I don't know who the current, you know, commissioners are, where their leanings are, or anything like that. So it's going to depend upon, you know, the chairman of that commission and where they want it to go, in large part, whether they have the votes to either push it forward or delay it further.
That was Cynthia Quarterman, a former federal pipeline regulator, speaking with Curtis Tate about the Mountain Valley Pipeline. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Bill Lynch, Brianna Heaney, Chris Schultz, Curtis Tate, Emily Rice, Eric Douglas, Jack Walker, Liz McCormick, and Maria Young. Emily Rice produced today's show. I'm your host, Teresa Wills. This is West Virginia Morning.